Backseat Box Office, episode number 37 for the weekend of June 3rd through the 5th, 2011. Hey, this is Tony.
This is Andrew.
This is Jonathan.
And we are the Backseat Producers, and you are listening to Backseat Box Office. Hey, you know what? This is episode number 37, and we've done them in a row.
Whoa. And I believe tonight we are freeballing it.
Yes. I believe that discussion was just had.
You know what? You know what? This discussion is full of phallic symbols.
I hear they're powerful.
And phallic symbols are powerful symbols. And I just want to note that I would like to no longer go by Jonathan, but I would instead like to be referred to as the eighth cheetah of the Ragnarok.
Nice. Wait.
We need to understand that the phallic symbol is a powerful symbol.
I hope that guy tries to do something. I'm gonna play that. That's fine. Hey, he's the third eagle of the apocalypse. He should know by now that I did that.
He should.
He should have predicted it, and he should have predicted that I touched the. I clicked the button with my penis. So. Oh my gosh!
This guy may not be recording with pants tonight.
Ooh. let's move on to something else that's less sensitive. Where'd you guys find this guy?
Jonathan.
I found it on... I go to a site called Picture is Unrelated. They've got all sorts of random just like WTF things from around the internet. Like you'll have a picture of... Well, let me pull up the site to... Because they're so weird... It's difficult to really, yeah. Like
Speaking
here's the side
weird,
of a.
What was that sound?
I don't know.
What sound?
Is that like a whistly?
Yeah, it sounded like you were like whistling when you were speaking.
I don't know.
The joy of Skype.
Is it bad still?
No. That one second. I think that was an attack by the third eagle of the apocalypse.
Ooh, that could have been an eagle screech.
You know what? He could not handle the eighth cheetah of Ragnarok, though.
That's right. Don't come after me, because... Yeah, here's one. Like, here's a mashup of a Coca-Cola ad and an Always pad... Ad. You have a pad, like a absorbent pad with a Coca-Cola bottle stained into it. That's the kind of stuff you find on this website. And this guy, the third eagle of the apocalypse and co-prophet of the end times, which makes me wonder, too, like, first of all, what happened to the first two eagles of the apocalypse? And also, where's the other co-prophet?
Yeah, that's like, kind of weird. That's kind of freaky.
I mean, is this before eagles were on the endangered species list? I mean, did someone just shoot them?
That could have been it.
Could be.
Yeah.
This guy is
not saying
young.
He's the bald eagle of the apocalypse.
Or... I guess I just assumed. Because, I mean, the dominant eagle is the bald eagle.
That's true.
Is that really true? I don't think that's true.
No, it's... I got it right here. It's true.
It's on the internet. We're saying it. It's on the internet. It's true.
I need to take a picture of the book that told me about it, but that seems like a lot of work.
Podcast-style fact creation going on right now.
Nice.
Two pictures... Two or three pictures down from the... The guy who's obsessed with phallic symbols is a sculpture of a giant vagina.
Well, you know, I think that's the perfect segue into how we did last week.
Before we do that, I do have one more thing that I have to say. Okay. I have a correction.
Oh, right.
Yeah. So, apparently, see, I've got this nifty feature that I enabled from Google Labs on my Gmail account that with one click, you can send and archive an email. So, like, if you're responding, you just hit that one button and it replies and archives it for you, so you don't have it in your inbox anymore. Well, so normally I try not to use that when I'm replying back to people when they've sent in their BSBO picks, because I like to keep them all in my inbox and then I can just reference them. At the same time, I normally star them and use my look at the starred emails just to, so I can make sure. But Monday being the holiday, it kind of threw off my mojo when I was doing the leaderboard, and I missed one of the emails.
So oh, I missed, Tony.
Yeah, I know. So I missed Mark J's email. He did participate. He did send in picks. They were the same as ours. So he got a 22 alongside the rest of us.
Spoilers.
Spoiler.
Yeah. There were 11 people of the 21 that participated. 11 of us had the exact same picks last week.
I guess people looked at the fact that the three of us, who, let's be honest, are a bit contentious, that we could agree on something, figured it was a good bet.
It was a fair bet. But it was wrong.
As it turns out, wrong, yeah. Spoiler.
And wrong in such a way that we all lost 3 points each. So, funny thing is that his average up to that point was also a 22. So, even when I added it in, with the exception of giving him one more week worth of numbers, it did not change his average score at all, which therefore did not change his ranking at all. But it's been updated.
So what I'm hearing is that in 37 episodes, you've now made two mistakes.
Have you listened to the Backseat Box Office results shows? I okay, regularly make mistakes. Normally, in my defense, normally I catch them while I'm recording. Stop, fix them, and continue recording.
I think we might have to look at using, you know, what we pay you. Maybe recruiting a little bit better talent.
That very well could be. I should probably be docked for those mistakes.
Jonathan,
percentage.
You're the enforcer. Make it happen.
Done.
I'll take percentage pay cuts as my punishment.
You're going 100% pay cut right
100%.
Now. That's right.
Each time.
You're going to start giving us your salary.
His zero.
Yes. Exactly. Hey.
I'll give you 100% of what I earn for this every week. Every week?
In a row?
Yeah, 37 weeks in a row?
That's the funny thing is, this show has gone on 37 weeks in a row. That is a true fact, and that is something that does not happen on the Backseat Producers website. though I think we're actually really close to it with the regular Backseat Producers show now, because I started catching up right about the time that I started the show, this show.
Yeah.
So I started that catch-up process, I should say.
Those crazy halcyon days of twice a week Backseat Producers drops.
Well, the funny thing is since those twice a weeks started, there have been three episodes a week on the feed ever since then.
Yeah.
Because there was those two, this show, then once we caught up, then we started doing the results show, and this week may mark the first... actually, it'll probably end up being next week, because if we record, it'll be tomorrow night. It may be the first four-episode-a-week drop that we've had in a while. Because we've actually had a couple, because, like, I think the... Christmas. We did Christmas because I dropped that bomb of...
The Pixar bomb.
Pixar, yeah. Not that it was a bad show bomb. It was fact that it was a 5-hour episode. That was the nuclear explosion that was Chibi for 5 hours.
From everything I've heard from Chibi, when you give him, if you let him talk, He doesn't stop.
Nope. I've heard some proof of that.
I've heard some way of the games. I've heard some backseat producers. Keeps going.
Yep. Yep.
All right.
The man has a lot to say.
He does. He's young. He's vibrant. And he's clever.
His brain moves at a speed faster than glacial drift. It's great.
It's not
so much better than me.
Yeah. It's not old and sleepy.
True. So, you know, I think people on this podcast have already spoiled the results a bit, but let me go over them real quick. Hangover Part 2 debuted number one, $85.9 million. Kung Fu Panda, which I think all three of us and apparently eight other people had thought was going to debut at number one, actually debuted at number two with $47.6 million. So, you know, about, what was that, $38 million behind. Yeah, exactly. So the Golden Trifecta, not for us this week.
Not this week.
Number three, Pirates of the Caribbean, $39.8 million. Bridesmaids, which I went to go see this past week with my lovely wife, came at number four with $16.5 million. And Thor dropped to number five with $9.5 million. And as we said, we all did exactly the same. We all flip-flopped one and two, so we all got 22 points.
True that. We actually did have two people get a 25 this week. Oddly enough, their names are both Jeff.
That'd be Jeff Bailey and Crazy Jeff, then.
Yes, sir. Yep, they both got a 25 this week, so good on those guys, jerk faces.
I love to see Jeff Bailey succeed, except when it's at my expense. So
it's at all of our expense at this point. He moved above me this time, so...
I'm expecting something good from next week when the Judy Moody drops in his voicemail. I'm expecting something good.
That is coming up next week, isn't it?
Oh, crap.
What?
I'm disappointed now because I'm going to be out of town and I don't know if I'll be able to record.
Ooh, we'll make it happen.
Next week's the big week, man. Me versus Relativity.
I know.
Maybe we need to get Jeff Bailey on. He seems to be a champion of the cause.
He is a valid replacement for me if necessary.
Well, and when I went to go see Bridesmaids this past weekend, you know, just like Tony said, they had the giant Relativity little logo come up, and so I threw some popcorn at the screen. And
what did you think of the movie, though?
That was great. It was hysterical. We had, at one point, I was just making dolphin sounds. I couldn't catch my breath. I was laughing.
Don't look at me!
Just the character of Megan, just in general, oh my gosh.
She was fantastic. All those dogs.
In the pink berets.
Yep.
Anyway, I don't want to go into detail, but Bridesmaids, well worth the price of admission. Definitely something you could catch later. I mean, there's no real benefit to see on the big screen versus the small screen, so just see it at some point. It's good.
It is worth checking out. All right, so next up, the X-Men movie that when I first saw, like, the initial, the principal photography, some of the initial photos they were releasing of the characters, I just cringed. When I saw the first trailer, I just wanted to cast it back into the pit from which it came. But the more I see about this movie, the more I want to see it. So the marketing is effective. And some of the reviews I've read kind of excite me for what exactly this movie is about.
You know, I can't say I'm excited for this movie, but I'm going to see it this weekend. That's not a question, but I don't know. There's a lot of things about it that make me very worried about whether it's actually going to be halfway decent or not.
I'm a huge X-Men fan from the mid '80s. I started collecting in the mid '80s. And then I, like, went backwards and collected back to X-Men 94 and, like, had most of the run until I stopped in like, 2000, 2001. The first three movies I saw, like, opening weekend, opening night, midnight movies in some cases. I have yet to see the Wolverine movie.
Don't bother yourself. Don't worry about it.
I felt kind of burned by X3.
Kind of burned?
Yeah.
X3 was a giant pile of shit.
You are correct. You know, it's true. I have watched parts of it since, and it's one of those things that it had the unfortunate timing to have been released as the third X-Men movie after two really wonderful X-Men movies. If that was the first movie they did, I would have probably been really happy with it, because it hit every high point of my fanboyism, from the Danger Room to the Sentinels to there was the cameo of Claremont and Stan Lee. It's just so many great little things. But overall, the movie just was nowhere near as good as X-Men 1 and 2.
So what I just heard, I don't know if this is an exactly right.
Wank,
what I just
wank,
heard is
wank,
that when you're starving,
fanboy,
you're
fanboy,
happy
fanboy
with anything.
Yes.
But after a nice meal, you become picky.
Booyah. That is correct. Mm. Your dessert had better be phenomenal after that steak.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of things I'm worried about with X-Men First Class, but every time I see Magneto hauling a nuclear submarine out of the water, I do get excited when I see that scene on the trailer.
Sitting down becomes uncomfortable.
Oh my god, you have to readjust. it's hot.
Well, and we don't, I should probably just stop saying this, because as soon as we say Rotten Tomatoes, we don't put any faith in it.
Kiss of death.
Yeah, but Rotten Tomatoes is giving it 95%.
Well, that's
58 reviews.
I have yet to read a bad review.
Yeah.
I'm reading some geeky review places. And so if anybody's going to be critical of an X-Men movie, it's going to be the geeks. I mean, we are our own worst enemy when it comes to reviews.
Yeah.
It's true. We tend to have a lot of hate as a community.
Yeah. The thing, and I'm paraphrasing, the quote from one of the reviews was something to the effect, if you're worried about it and you don't have a lot of investment in the characters, you're going to go and have a good time until Michael Ironside shows up, and then you will have a great time. Which I didn't know he was in it. So just hearing that name, I was just like fully engorged and ready to go. I wanted to buy my ticket right then.
We need to submit this episode to the Third Eagle of the Apocalypse.
We should. It's very penisy.
So wait, no. Michael Ironsides is the cross. He's the power of the cross right there. He's going to whoop the ass of all the phallic symbols that we've already laid out in this episode.
I mean, the movie does have a submarine coming out of the water.
Phallic.
Come on. And Magneto's helmet?
You get that on DVD and just play it in reverse and then forward and backwards, and then you can start doing it faster.
I mean, you've got Magneto's helmet.
It turns out that, you know, if you do it right, it can look like Magneto's having sex with the ocean.
It got weird all of a sudden.
I'm just thinking about all the possibilities.
Way to go, Jonathan. You made it weird.
Embrace it.
If Michael Ironsides can go on a movie like, say, Starship Troopers and Rocket, I have no doubt he's going to be fantastic in X-Men. Because, my God, I loved him on Starship Troopers.
I cannot think of anything I haven't
in RoboCop.
All right, so who wants to give their picks this week, since we all picked the same thing last week?
Well, no, I'm going to put this out to it. I'm going to put this question to all three of us. So Hangover Part 2, is that number one? It made $85 million. I'm saying it drops a third.
Oh, really?
Really? What were you thinking?
I'm thinking it's going to drop 50%.
Mm.
If not more.
Only one new movie coming out to compete against it. Pretty different genre.
Yeah, but Bridesmaid still has only lost 20% again.
The question really is Hangover or X-Men?
Yep.
I mean, for me at least, we've got yet another week where 3, 4, and 5 are
a lock. Yeah.
I agree.
And so it's, for me anyway, it's a tough call because I'm in the same kind of boat that you guys are in. Like, X3 burned, and Wolverine, I didn't even go to.
Oh, my God. What's the,
So, you know, are people going to remember the burn or listen to the, well, it's return to form and show up in numbers? Because, I mean, I don't think we haven't really seen a big summer blockbuster open at less than 60, 70 million.
You know, Kung Fu Panda 2?
It opened on the same weekend as another blockbuster, you know?
Yeah.
And the competition was there.
We thought it would do better last week when we talked about it.
You know what? Yeah. I'm just going to go ahead and say, I'm going to cut through all the analysis and say, I'm going to put X-Men First Class at number one. And the reason I'm going to say that is because I just looked at how Wolverine opened, which was the fresh salt on the wound of X3.
But it was also Wolverine, for God's sake. Hugh Jackman.
True. But it made Michael 85 Ironside. Million. It made 85 million.
How much?
85.
For
a May 1st release. May 1st is pretty much not considered a summer release. That's the same weekend that Thor released this year.
I mean, it seems like the two highest used, most popular characters, or at least what they feel are the most two popular characters in the Marvel Universe, are Deadpool and Wolverine.
Okay.
And there's a reason they're each in like 8 books each every week. Mm-hmm. So I just don't know if you can look at X-Men and compare it to Wolverine, because I don't know. I think Wolverine has a lot broader appeal than just, we're doing a we're going retro with the X-Men.
Well, X3 opened at 100 million.
God, that was such a bad movie, though.
It still opened at 100 million.
It's a good point. It's a good point.
And I mean, even if even if
realistically
drops a third, you're looking at 60, 50 million.
Realistically, I think the low end of the Hangover's drop is 40%, and at 40%, you're looking at just over 50 million. It's like 53 million or something like that, off the top of my head. Maybe closer to 55. But I think X-Men easily has 60 million in it for an opening weekend. Easily.
Mm-hmm.
So for me.
So did you finish your picks, Tony?
Do we have to?
Well, I think for the record.
X Men First Class, Hangover 2 at number 2. God damn, what are the other movies? I forgot already.
Kung Fu Panda
at number 3, Pirates. Number 4, Bridesmaids at number 5. I can't see Kung Fu Panda losing more than 50 or 60%, which I'm sure Pirates is going to lose, considering. Yeah. That would be the movie that I think would take the biggest hit audience-wise from X-Men.
Yeah.
I mean, that the action, you know, that whole action blockbuster kind of thing. Pirates and X-Men do have some a common audience there. I think it's going to be X-Men at number one.
Jonathan.
Ditto. Right.
Jonathan's official answer is ditto. Okay.
Hey, it worked for Rich.
True.
Rich comment. Hey, I'm at KublaCon, so I'm just gonna go with the hosts. I'm gonna go find a game and a drink.
Yeah, I was a bit jealous of Rich's over the weekend listening to all his KublaCon tweets.
I approve, Rich.
Yeah. All right. So I guess that leaves me.
That leaves you. What are you gonna do, Andrew? Peer pressure. Everybody's doing it. Come on. Everybody's doing it.
Well, I completely three through five. I completely agree with you, and I don't think I believe enough in the power of The Hangover to pick it over X-Men, even though I could see it happening. But
I can see it has, but
okay,
there's a chance.
I think the chance is slimmer than
Andrew, X-Men opening big.
Andrew, I have four words for you. January.
Is it Third Eagle of the Apocalypse?
No.
Oh, that's five words. Damn.
That's five words.
No.
However, co-prophet of the end times.
No, damn it.
Five words.
I tell you what, I have four words twice. January Jones, Emma Frost, Rose Byrne, Moira McTaggart.
Those are good words.
Those are great words.
I approve of all four of those words.
I was thrilled. I didn't realize that Rose Byrne was in the movie. And then I saw like something that said that she was in it. I was like, who is she going to be in the X-Men movie? Because she's not one of the students that they've been showing. And then I saw she was Moira, and I was like, oh, this is good. that means there's going to be some Professor X banging action going on, is what that's going to mean.
And then, of course, your wife walked in and said, Tony, why are you drooling? And you're like, oh, sorry, dear.
It wasn't Maggie. Nah. Promise.
Nah, that was bad. Sorry. You edit that right out. Feel free.
It's all right. She may or may not listen, so it's okay. I'm feeling gambly. At this point...
Gambly? It's not a word. Gambly?
And you didn't question penis-y?
I didn't want to question that one. I was going to let that one go.
I think the phallic talk to this point, she might not be listening anymore, even if she does decide to listen to this episode.
Yeah, I mean, let's be honest. If you make it through the Third Eagle of the Apocalypse bit at the beginning... You're a hardcore fan.
Truth. Congratulations.
All right. Well, here are my picks. Are you ready?
Do it.
All right, get your pencil ready. Ditto.
All right, so here we go. Second attempt at the golden trifecta.
I see summer.
I see a lot of dittos.
Really boring.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah,
I have a feeling...
This is why we bring in the Third Eagle of the Apocalypse and the Eighth Cheetah of Ragnarok, because...
One new movie.
Yeah, talking about the movies...
Yeah, when you have one new movie in wide release, and everything else is going to, you know, fall considerably, and there's no... Nothing's close, you know? I just can't see...
Spaced.
Yeah. Yeah, there's 5 to 10 million difference between each one. I mean, even a movie like Bridesmaids, if it holds 20% of its audience again, it's not going to hold so much that Pirates is going to lose like 75% of its money over last weekend. It's just not going to happen.
Yeah, and there's no way The Hangover 2 is going to drop so much that Kung Fu Panda comes out on top of it. Right. Even if Kung Fu Panda stays flat, there's just no way The Hangover's going to drop 60%.
I don't know. That's kind of what I said.
I see, and that's assuming Kung Fu Panda is flat.
That's highly unlikely.
Right. So I'm just saying, I can't see it happening. So
all right. So speaking of the summer being boring thing. There's been some talk about rules changes and whatnot. One of the things that I think we might do is create two seasons. I think we talked about this last week also. Mm-hmm. But right. and have them have the demarcation be Memorial Day. Yeah. I think that's probably gonna be the best bet. I think we'll keep the scoring going through Labor Day at this point, since we started halfway through, because we started in January. But I think at this point we're going to call the cutoff of this season to be Labor Day.
That works.
I don't think anybody will have a problem with that, especially since there have been no real prizes announced or anything like that. So far, it's kind of all for bragging rights. Not to say that, you know, we might not figure something out.
I feel committed to a prize. I just haven't been energetic enough to actually discuss it with anybody.
We'll figure something out.
I absolutely want this to happen as long as I don't have to work for it.
That's fair.
You have to, Jonathan, you have to do as much work as you've done every week so far.
Okay. I absolutely am willing to do that.
Fantastic.
All right. All right, are we ready for the next round of Name That Game?
Or we're doing Babblefish now.
Yeah, I haven't got to that part of the episode yet.
Yeah, I haven't finished the episode yet.
You guys teased it at the beginning, so.
All right, let's call it.
All right, you guys have a good weekend.
See ya.
See ya.
I'm waiting for Andrew to sign off.
Bye.
Come on.
Oh, by the way,
just so you
know. He
was the one that said, have a good weekend.
I did. But I think I know what he wants. What he wants is...
No, we don't want that. Stop.
If you can't be good...
No.
Be
no.
safe.
If you can't be good, be the 30 gold of the apocalypse.